I went to a coffee shop a week or so ago, and the tip jar at the corner said, "Hate change, leave it here." I laughed and I left some coins in the jar, and I also thought about other changes I might like to curl up and leave in that jar. Aging, mood changes, relationship changes, climate change, time change. What would you leave in the I hate change jar? This week, though, we're not talking about letting that go. We're talking about holding change, not leaving it behind. So, what do I mean by holding change? I turn to Adrienne Marie Brown, author of the book entitled Holding Change, for an eloquent answer. To hold change or hold space is to hold both the people in and the dynamic energy of a room, a space, a meeting, an organization, or a movement. To hold change is to make it easy for people with shared intentions to be around each other and move toward their vision and values, and/or to navigate conflict in a way that is generative and accountable. It's a way of being with changes. I talk a lot about holding space in pastoral care scenarios, allowing whatever is there to bubble up and get comfortable in the space. It's scary when we're talking about change sometimes, to let things emerge and take up space in our predefined comfort zones. Yet, change is constant. God is change. I'm so grateful for the assistance reading the excerpts from Octavia Butler's Parable of the Sower this morning. When Butler talks about God, she's not referring to an entity. The God of earth seed, us, is not a person. The God of earth seed in her books does not love or hate us or watch over us or really know us at all. The God of earth seed just is. She writes, "God is power, infinite, irresistible, inexorable, indifferent. The one irresistible force of the universe, I think, is change. Everything in the universe changes. Every living thing, every bit of matter, all the energy in the universe changes in some way. So, how do we hold change, hold space, hold a malleable God in the palm of our hands? There's an embodiment exercise in her book that might help us a bit more. I invite you to breathe with me. Take a posture of comfort. And you may remember this from being young. I don't. But she says, you may remember being guided in an exercise of breathing where you cupped your hands around an invisible ball of energy and moved it. So if you breathe together while visualizing in front of you, a ball of energy. And it's yours. It's an extension of you. It hovers in the air, shifting with your attention. And I even invite you to use your hands with this if you feel comfortable. Breathing out, you push away this invisible ball of energy. But breathing in, you move the energy back into and all around you. Breathing out, you move it up over your head and spread it into a massive, glorious umbrella. And breathing in, back into center and holding it there. Breathing out, take it down through your bones to the floor. And breathing in, rolling back up, and bringing the energy back into your heart. Keep breathing. I wonder what shape the change is that you're holding right now. What is the shape of the change that we're holding collectively? Holding Change, the book, is it about an emergent strategy of facilitation and mediation? It's a way of holding changes gracefully. In Brown's chapters on intentional adaptation, facilitation, and mediation, she writes, change is constant. You can't stop change, control change, or perfectly plan change. You can ride the waves of change, partner with change, and shape change. We are bound in relationship with change, not separate from it. An adaptation is a way of holding change across time. She talks about adaptation being the way of holding change that moves toward life. She writes, loving life means committing to the adaptation to stay alive, rather than the stubbornness to stay the same. Inner work with generative somatics, which is an embodiment practice, she learned to make declarations or statements that speak about who we are becoming in service of the world and what we are working to create. The practice requires us to say, I am a commitment to something that we're longing for or intending. When we begin to think of our intentions as long and longings as elements of change, perhaps we can begin to embrace change a bit more. She writes, for example, I am a commitment to resilient movements that sustain and deepen under the pressure of change and difference. I am a commitment to trusting love the way I trust gravity. She invites us to get relaxed and intentional in the face of change, to get curious about life and the ways that will help us stay connected to what and who we care about. She reminds us of the tenderness with which we hold a newborn, the beauty of holding the hand of a child at a crossroads, or the grace of holding an elder, supporting her out of bed and into a chair so you can change the sheets. With care and attention, we can vividly imagine practicing intentional adaptation. An emergent strategy is the way that we generate and reshape complex systems and patterns with relatively simple interactions. Like singing when the spirit says sing. According to the UUA song page, this was one of the songs that was used the most during the civil rights era at virtually every demonstration, mass meeting of activists, and march in the late 1950s and early 1960s. Singing songs helped give the activists strength and a sense of self. Since not all of us are familiar with Emergent Strategy yet, it's one of her other books and what Holding Change was based on, I wanted to give an overview of the principles that will help us explore this further. They're really principles that turn us toward gracefully holding change, embracing emergent strategy, and I think there may be some gems of wisdom among them. She starts with small is good, small is all. The large is a reflection of the small. Change is also fractal in nature. The large change is always a bigger reflection of the smaller incremental changes that have happened along the way. This is my opportunity to remind you that every single one of your votes counts. Change is constant. Be like water, she says. Be malleable, be adaptable. Shift shapers, perhaps, rather than staying rigid. There's always enough time for the right work, she says. Always, always, always enough time for the right work. Important work rises to the top because of its urgency, connection, or because the time has simply arrived. There's always a conversation in the room that only these people at this moment can have. Find that conversation. Listen for it. What's the theme of what's coming up? What's the mood? What's the atmosphere? Lean into this conversation that emerges rather than trying to control it. She says, never a failure, always a lesson. I have to write that one down because I'm always learning. We're always growing and we are loved and not alone. Trust the people, she says. If you trust the people, they will become trustworthy. I think that's so fascinating. Trust the people and they become trustworthy. That's a dance that ministers and congregations do. Move at the speed of trust, she says. Focus on critical connections more than critical mass. Build the resilience by building relationships. In other words, don't rush and don't drag. Move at the speed of trust. Focus on connection and genuine relationship and care, and the rest will follow closely behind. If you struggle, at least you'll be able to recover, to be resilient, because you've already built a foundation of love and relationship. She reminds us that less prep, more presence. This doesn't mean showing up empty-handed without any intentions. It means showing up with the intention of being present for what is there in the room. And lastly, in emergent strategy, she writes, what you pay attention to grows. We know this wisdom from so many sources. The things we feed and water are the things that grow. And that's even true for negativity and sadness sometimes. We can feed those and water those things and they will grow. But after writing Emergent Strategy, Brown continued to adapt and change in her own life. And so while the principles are of Emergent Strategy still make up the foundation of Holding Change, she added a few more in Holding Change in particular. Begin by listening. It's always a good reminder for me that the words listen and silent have the same letters. I think that's clever. Transform yourself to transform the world. That might sound familiar. It kind of weaves its way into a lot of Unitarian Universalist mission statements. We want to transform ourselves to transform the world. What we practice is what we are. That also sounds very Unitarian Universalist. Name what is and make more possible. I think that's true, to be able to name what you have and make room for more. Release perfection and relinquish judgment. Perfectionism blocks so much possibility, and so does judgment. Create a culture of celebration. Pivot toward pleasure. This is one of the reasons why we have auction dinners and parties and celebrations and festivals at church. We're not always looking to produce. We're also looking to pivot towards celebration and embrace relationship. Invitation goes further than manipulation, and it feels better for everyone involved. Release your way to feel the way. This is a hard one, especially right now with the way the world is turning, but it's always a good reminder to trust the process and know that you will feel the next bold move that's needed. Time can bend. Not like time changes or pandemic time, although that did bend. But in a philosophical sense, time is a precious resource that's the gift of, has the gift of surprise at times. Have you ever been in such a good conversation that you looked up at the clock and realized you had completely lost track of time? Time can bend. Relationship and connection changes our priorities and always makes time for the right stuff. I hope that you've received a gem or two from these principles and practices that help us hold change gracefully. I hope you enjoyed the Octavia Butler musings on God being change in our language. Remember that we hold change together, energetically, physically sometimes, spiritually. We are never alone, and we are absolutely called by life and love and by hope and faith. Faith meaning the belief that there is a better world possible if we hold change together. Blessed be, may it be so, and amen.